Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We also have some statements to make about, you know, and you wouldn't think we'd even be in this situation, but we have this almost 3-1 supermajority of Republicans in the Florida House of Representatives, and it is rotten. They are behaving more like Democrats. They are colluding with the left. They're colluding with the media to try to sabotage all the great success that Florida has had over these last 6 years. And that is wrong. That is not what they told you they would do when they asked you for your vote.
So Governor Ron DeSantis is in full-blown meltdown mode. I don't know how else to describe it. He uses taxpayer money to come travel to Pensacola to preach, to give a press conference, to give a campaign rally, to give a, defend my wife's bid for the governor in 2 years event. Closed door, like, some people that wanted to get in could not get in at the Pensacola State College. So on public grounds, in order to what? Promote to a super friendly audience that all of our local legislators are idiots and are in collusion with the liberal media. You know, because how dare the media ever criticize Ron DeSantis? Listen, I love Ron DeSantis. I've told you many times, you know, I will never stop appreciating what he did for us in COVID. He was my guy for president, okay? And I still think, you know, compared to all the alternatives, I'd probably still pick him as my nominee for president. But he is in just, it's a meltdown. How dare they raise questions about a $10 million side payment in the settlement with ACA to go to Hope, Florida, that goes to political campaigns that, you know, get used to fight Amendment 3. Like, how dare they? Must be they're all a bunch of liberals. Okay. Sir. No. And listen, I had people ask me, what did you think about the governor's press conference yesterday? Well, I used to teach logic. And I could give you a probably more than 1 hour seminar on logical fallacies and contradictions based only on this speech. And I'll do it as we talk about it this morning. This was really, really bad.
To recognize that throughout our country, our universities have lost their way. They have become institutions focused more on political indoctrination rather than classical education. And so we said in the state of Florida, very simply, these are your colleges and universities as taxpayers. They don't have the right to do whatever the heck they want and promote whatever agenda they want if it's not in the best interest of the state of Florida.
Okay, absolutely. Totally agree. But does that justify a takeover of UWF? See, something can be true in general of a category that doesn't make it true of every specific member of that category. And yes, it's true that universities lean left, are problematic, often have indoctrination, do not serve their proper purpose. Does that mean that UWF is so flawed? And the answer is no, it's not. And so the persistent questions about why did you pick UWF to take over with this, you know, brand new board of handpicked by whom? People who have no connection to this university or no knowledge of this region, and including some very controversial individuals, right? So he's, again, I'm with him when he's talking in general. I taught for 10 years. I know where universities are at. It's bad in the United States. And he's done a lot of great things, and the legislature has done a lot of great things to fix it.
I don't want parents to spend 18 years instilling values in their kids and then worry they send them to one of our universities in Florida and it's all going to be undone by Marxist professors. That doesn't work for me.
Okay, great. Yeah, agreed. No problem. I mean, I'm with you in general, but do you think that Marxist professors are teaching all of our kids at UWF and they're churning out a bunch of young graduate socialists? Again, something can be true of the general. It can be true of most, but most is not all. And you always have to give the receipts or the evidence of why it's true of this particular one.
You apply to be a professor, you go before the faculty, and unless you toe the ideological line, they will blackball you. And that's what happens. So we've gone around the faculty. It's not their responsibility. It's not their right to be blackballing conservative professors. And so we've now recruited all these great folks at the Hamilton Center, University of Florida, place like New College in Sarasota. And when we get done with it, the University of West Florida, you will see some big changes there. Trust me.
What big changes, sir? Why are they justified? In what way is UWF like New College? And the answer is, it's not. And so, by the way, if you're going to come badmouth UWF, which is basically what he was doing, and you're going to come badmouth Michelle Salzman and Alex Andrade, I mean, really aggressively badmouth Alex Andrade, moderately aggressively badmouth Michelle Salzman, and neither of them are even included in the event, their people can't get into the event, like, you came to their hometown for why to campaign against them? I mean, is that what this is? Again, on public dollars? I mean, it's weird. But, okay, it's true that university departments often reinforce their own ideology through who they hire. That's true. It's true that unless you qualify as meeting certain, you know, belief standards for them, they won't hire you. That's true. And conservatives historically have suffered in, especially in the liberal arts in this regard. All true. Is it true at UWF? What evidence do you have that it's true at UWF? Now, I've told you before, we have one kid graduated, one kid's there, another kid's going to go there. I'm a believer in UWF. But and I have told you that I think there are things at UWF that are left of center. Okay? They are. Culturally, the campus is left of center. Conservatives walk around there and you're like, oh, okay, this is not my place. But does that mean in the grand scheme of universities that are off their center that UWF is a bad one? No, I mean, it's like super mild compared to many others, which is how you have to look at this. And, you know, you have to get down to the granular level of looking at the teachers and looking at the books and looking at the syllabus and thinking about how they actually teach in the classroom and, you know, even what courses are offered. I told you, I went through all the courses and looked, and, you know, there are some that I thought, oh, those are sort of left of center. But I was actually surprised by how few I found compared to what I kind of expected to find, just generally compared to normal universities. So anyway, he's taking an advocacy that is true in general. We ought to have review of all professors every 5 years, even the ones who have tenure. Awesome move. Loved it. Totally in support of it. Okay? And he's talking about the, you know, hiring of professors to be done outside of departments. Great. Love it. Agree. Good idea. But to use those wins as an evidence that everything he's doing, including putting in this hostile takeover of the UWF board, is that's bad reasoning. And then saying that the efforts to curb future potential abuses of the power to appoint Board of Trustees members is therefore collusion with the left? Sir. I mean, maybe suddenly I'm a leftist. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah, that's it. I'm a communist. I'm a Marxist. I'm a socialist. I'm the left media. We have this funny thing where we get into kind of cult thinking about people, and you think that because somebody claims to be a conservative, and I don't doubt that DeSantis is, okay, or somebody is a Republican, that, like, anybody who criticizes them is, you know, therefore they're on the other side. No, we're supposed to criticize our own when they're wrong. That's how you keep on track with the right ideas. You know, I made a post the other day on social media criticizing Kristi Noem for looking very, very bad when she was holding an AR-style weapon in at the border, and people are like, oh, you're just a liberal. sir. find an actual liberal, which I used to be. Find an actual liberal and who listens to the show and ask them what they think of me. Ask them. Listen to transgressors. Ask them what they think. Anyway, so again, continue. And this, by the way, this went from bad to worse over the course of his comments. This was real, in my opinion, as somebody who taught logic and understands all of the particulars of all of the various plot lines that he and his wife, and my God, he hired Joel Rudman as a spokesperson? Are you... What? Joel Rudman got denied to zero vote, okay, unanimous vote, at his first committee stop to be appointed to PSC yesterday. Because Joel Rudman made threats against the legislature and claimed to know that people are using drugs and, like, he's gone total wing nut. I mean, he just, I don't know what to tell you. And he's the guy you bring in as your strong advocate to explain why Alex Andrade is wrong. And in the process, he winds up saying, well, you know, Alex Andrade is a big bad meanie because, you know, he attacked Heather Lindsay. Again, like, I followed the story pretty closely. Sir, you're on the wrong side of this. Anyway, okay, back to the governor's comments yesterday.
So you have to hold institutions accountable. And I think what's happened over many decades throughout the country is academia, left to its own devices, is absolutely going to run aground. They are going to go very hard left. They are going to be mired in all this indoctrination and all these ideological leftist fads. And we can't have that in Florida.
Okay, agreed. Does that make it true at UWF? Right.
And oh, by the way, that will also make the universities much better. OK, I mean, do we really need zombie studies programs like they have? I mean, it's ridiculous. Some of the nonsense that they're doing.
It's called a straw man argument. You take the most ridiculous, extreme version of something and use that again and again against the whole category. Do we have a zombie studies program at UWF? I mean, he's found this line that's juicy in speeches in front of sycophantic audiences. But, it, you know, at a certain point, give me a better example, man. And then he specifically dug in on Michelle Salzman.
In the Florida House of Representatives today, they are proposing a bill to undo this success. And this bill is proposed. I don't think she was the one that wrote it. I think this was the speaker told her to run it. But from Escambia County, Michelle Salzman.
Oh, poor little lady doesn't even know the bill she's running. We'll have Michelle on 6:35. She can tell you herself what she thinks.
And, you know, she had been a very good ally for many years. She had had a good conservative record. And I think what happens is these people go to Tallahassee and they go native. She's doing the bidding of the leadership and the staff. She's not doing what you sent them there to do. You did not elect her to undo our conservative reforms in higher education. Because I'm confident if she ran on that, you wouldn't have elected her in the first place.
Oh, now we're into the good stuff. Because, first of all, if you read the bill, there are a couple of parts of the bill that I'm not sure I'm sold on. But the bill is very basic. The Board of Governors must file financial disclosures. The Board of Governors must be a resident of Florida or graduate the state university system. And any individual trustee must have been a U.S. citizen and either a resident of Florida or graduate that university, that institution. So this would fix the PSC, not so much, but the UWF problem. Okay. Term limits on trustees, term limits on State Board of Education, term limits on Board of Governors. State Board of Ed doesn't need to confirm presidential hires. The Board of Trustees picks that, which is very normal in any organization, right? It adds admissions criteria for the Board of Governors to review institutions to make sure that they're not super woke. I agree with that. The governor's saying that's a bad idea. You have to post your admissions criteria online. Term limits for trustees. Syllabus and textbooks and cost of textbooks has to be posted online 45 days prior to the start of the class. Great. And then the one he's most upset about is that the governor is not supposed to get involved in and talk to Board of Governors, Board of Education, Board of Trustees about new hires for president. That's been a signature thing for him, is wanting to be able to control all of that. But again, leave that to the Board of Trustees. Let them do their job. So it's a very simple bill. But his argument that she didn't campaign on this, Republicans didn't campaign on this, on overturning all of his reforms. What part of the tenure review is undone here? What part of the hiring teachers outside of just the departments is undone here? What part of getting rid of DEI in the schools is undone here? None of it. I mean, all the stuff that he's done well, they didn't change a thing. But he did one really dumb thing with the Board of Trustees, and they're trying to fix that in the future. Oh, and as far as the, you know, if you had campaigned against that, you know, they wouldn't have elected you. Sir, if you had campaigned on replacing the Board of Trustees at UWF with a bunch of out-of-state people who don't know this area and don't have any connection to it, and we're going to radically change the university that we are all very affectionate towards? If you had campaigned on a UWF revolution, you wouldn't have won this county. You might have lost Santa Rosa, too. I don't know that you certainly would have been elected in the first time when you only won by 35,000 votes. Last time, maybe so. Okay, you probably could have said almost anything and got reelected. But you say they didn't campaign on this. You didn't campaign on this. The problem is you made choices that have people here furious with you. Even Don Gates, you know, I've never managed to unite Northwest Florida on anything. And here the governor's appointments to the Board of Trustees have done that. Sir, read the room. Oh, you can't because you didn't let anybody in who disagrees with you. Embarrassing. More later. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne. Oh, by the way, I should let you know, if you are anywhere in the vicinity of West Florida High School on Burgess, Hilburn, Creighton, the Circle K, anywhere in that vicinity, lots of Escambia County Sheriff's deputies out on the road. I saw at least 10. They're looking for a suspect that is on foot, and that's all I was able to learn from them. But it's kind of a pretty big perimeter that they're looking for somebody this morning. So just be aware of that. They're not interfering with traffic or anything like that, but, you know, you'll see a lot of me like, what's going on? Well, you know, that's the best I got for you. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The suspected weekend arson at the governor's residence in Pennsylvania is now being investigated as a possible hate crime. The district attorney there believes that suspect Cody Ballmer targeted Governor Josh Shapiro, who's a Democrat, for his Jewish faith after he reportedly claimed Shapiro had plans for what he wants to do to the Palestinian people. The NAACP is taking the Department of Education to task over efforts to cut diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in schools, a federal lawsuit arguing that the government's moves are discriminatory and unconstitutional And they say they would have a chilling impact on efforts to make sure black students are given equal opportunities. NASA looking for a mascot design to represent a crewed mission to the moon. Artemis II travels to the moon next year with human beings on board for the first time since the 70s. The uncrewed Artemis 1 mission in 2022 had a plush Snoopy as the zero gravity indicator inside of the Orion capsule. So now they're looking for designs for Artemis 2.
So they're looking for one that's going to tell a lot of potty jokes?
Yeah.
Because they're looking for one that's going to be crude? All right. Well,
isn't that Ted or whatever the name of that is?
Oh, man. Did you see the meltdown that some folks are having over the mission where the women all went up into space and they're killing the planet? Olivia Munn, Olivia Wilde, and then Emily Ratajkowski, noted intellectual Emily Ratajkowski. I can't believe it. It's the end times, man.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. No contempt order for the Trump DOJ from federal judge Paula Zinnes in the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, who was deported. The judge says she's still investigating whether DOJ ignored her order to facilitate his return from a prison in El Salvador, but that's not enough for some Democratic lawmakers.
This may be a first. A sitting U.S. senator traveling to a foreign country to advocate for an illegal alien deported to his home country deemed by a judge to be affiliated with MS-13. But that's exactly what Democrat Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen says he'll do today.
That's Fox's Griff Jenkins. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi expects to announce action against Maine for its role in allowing biological boys to play in girls' sports. An American pastor, Josh Sullivan, rescued in South Africa. He was not harmed in a shootout between cops and his kidnappers who were shot dead by police. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 53 degrees right now. Clear skies this morning in Pensacola. Governor DeSantis making a stop yesterday in Pensacola. His message?
Something is rotten in the Florida House of Representatives. These people are not doing what you said, what they told you that they would do. And here's the thing. When you go up there, the leadership will threaten these representatives. They'll say, if you don't do this bill, you will lose your committee assignment. You will lose your projects. You won't have any of your bill heard.
And DeSantis also singling out local representative Michelle Salzman over her bill, HB 1321, which would limit his power to select university officials. The governor said Salzman has been an ally for years, but he thinks she was put up to sponsoring that bill by party leadership. Michelle Salzman will be on with Andrew at 6:30 this morning to respond. During the appearance yesterday, First Lady Casey DeSantis also spoke on Hope, Florida. Well, the teacher at Tate High School could be named America's favorite teacher by Reader's Digest. Ninth grade English and AP literature teacher Kristen Maum made it to the quarterfinals of that contest, currently ranking first. The contest winner gets a trip to Hawaii and $25,000. And if she wins, the school gets an appearance from Bill Nye, the science guy. Well, the state now has stepped closer to executing a man who killed a woman in Hillsborough County. Governor DeSantis signing the death warrant yesterday for Glenn Rogers. He was sentenced to death 28 years ago for a stabbing in Gibsonton in 1995. The 62-year-old would be given a lethal injection May 15th. It'll be the fifth execution in Florida for the year. A big change in leadership at Hurlburt Field. The Air Force announcing that Chief Master Sergeant Anthony Green has been relieved of his duties. The reason given was a loss of confidence in his ability to fulfill his duties. No other details other than that were released. Green was the command chief of the Air Force Special Ops Command, the top enlisted airman at Hurlburt. He was stationed there for less than 2 years. Well, the man that oversees the Hope Florida Foundation is admitting that mistakes were made. Chairman Joshua Hayes testified before a House subcommittee yesterday in Tallahassee. He said the foundation didn't file tax forms, improperly approved grants, and broke state open meeting laws. Hayes blamed those problems on a lack of staffing. He also said the foundation's board is meeting tomorrow to fix what he's calling deficiencies. First Lady Casey DeSantis started Hope Florida to help people get off of welfare. Governor DeSantis said yesterday Hope Florida reimagines the way the government helps those in need by leveraging resources outside of the government. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Passing clouds for today with a high near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54 degrees. For Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 74. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 55. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 76 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' first morning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 53 degrees in Pensacola, 51 in Milton, 56 reported in Gulf Breeze. Your next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And now let's get a look at our pre-opening market report for the day.
With your money now. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has sparred with an FTC attorney over the meaning of emails he sent about why he wanted to acquire Instagram. As a historic antitrust trial alleging Meta illegally monopolized the social media market went into its second day, Zuckerberg returned to the witness stand to defend Meta's purchase of Instagram and WhatsApp in a trial that could force Meta to divest the two apps. NVIDIA said it will take a quarterly charge of about $5.5 billion tied to exporting H2O graphics processing units to China and other destinations. The stock slid almost 5% in extended trading. Target has recalled its Good & Gather pea, zucchini, kale, and thyme vegetable puree for elevated lead levels. The FDA said lead may affect behavior and cognitive development. Futures are moderately lower ahead of retail sales data later this morning. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 155, the NASDAQ down 8, the S&P 500 down 9. That's your money now.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Marcus Point Baptist Church encourages you to invite a friend to the community sunrise service inside Blue Wahoo Stadium. Reach out to your neighbors, coworkers, or even family members and show them an Easter tradition like never before. The Community Sunrise Service, Easter Sunday at 6 a.m. from Blue Wahoo Stadium. Visit our website at PensacolaChurch.org.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community, and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola, tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, this time, we're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he always comes in the studio, and I was remarking on the weather being beautiful, and then I think I made some comment of, and here I have the lovely and beautiful Sheriff Chip Simmons in front of me.
Thank you. Caught me off guard.
I know. You know, like, man giving a man confidence.
I look behind myself.
It's all right. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, big success?
Was it a big success? Yes. We, we're so proud of the opportunity to have this event at Five Flags Speedway. We had, I guess, 1,400, maybe 1,500 people go through there. We
nice.
Had well over 100 cars at the car show. I have to look at my text and see how many pounds, like 500-something pounds of crawfish. Just a great event. Great. Again, we talked about the weather because the weather kind of pushes things.
Right.
In the past couple of years, we've been looking up at the sky and trying to figure out if it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Especially if you have, we were commenting on this earlier, if you have a nice car and you want to participate in a car show, but if it looks like it's going to be rainy and muddy, do I want to drive that car or not? But in this situation, it was just a great opportunity for us to engage with the community mm-hmm. and a great opportunity for us to raise money for the foundation.
Wonderful. Did you have a total for how much money you raised?
The foundation put out a post, I think about $50,000, a little over $50,000.
Nice.
There's right. some costs going to be taken out of that, but I just talked to Whitney Lucas, our foundation president, mm-hmm. and she told me it was about around $50,000.
Okay.
Again, there's still some counting to go on, some subtracting to go on, but what a great event. And the value of it is just see the kids participating in some of the games that we had where they put – like crawfish claws on their hands, and they're picking uh-huh. up, you know, fake corn, and they're throwing it in there. There's just the excitement that was around there, and you know, Cat Country was there, and,
yep.
and Brent and I did a couple of spots. It was just a great opportunity, and it's kind of unique because it's in the central part of the county, and a lot of things are happen downtown. This is one of the big things, maybe the biggest thing that happens you know, outside of the fair.
Yeah, that was big deal over the weekend for sure. We had a couple of big events here in town. I know that was one you guys were doing. K-9 Streeter was in the final four for the statewide competition for what? Best looking K-9, most trained. What was the actual thing?
I think it was the best pitcher. Whoever people you know thought looked.
It was a popularity
the most
contest.
Like, Okay. Yeah, the beauty contest, I guess.
Whoever looked the most like Run Joe Run. Okay.
Run Joe Run. Yeah, yeah.
Or you remember that?
10-10 or one of
there
those.
There you go. Those ancient K-9. TV shows that even yeah. John is not old enough to remember.
Yeah, so we submitted a pitcher. It was kind of a fun thing to do, and obviously it was in relation to March Madness, so you had a,
yeah.
I'm not sure how many dogs, but then the winners go advance to the Final Four. I think we made it to the Final Four, but we weren't able to cut the nets down this year.
Oh, okay, all right.
So, you know, maybe next year.
Was he excited to be in the Final Four?
Well, when I asked him, I talked to him, he said he had some excitement. He did. He had a level of excitement. I wasn't sure. He was nursing a little bit of a pulled hammy.
Okay.
But he was doing pretty good.
He was worried that in the prancing portion that it might demerit him, you know.
Well, we thought that maybe people would understand that this is the same dog jumped off the bridge and he's recuperating.
Oh,
but no one
okay.
seemed to care about
no.
heroics.
Okay, they didn't want the backstory.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep that in mind for the future. I was talking with him. Well done. All right. Couple of there's always crimes. This, I guess the girlfriend hired some friends to assault her boyfriend in a car at Ashton Brosnahan Park. Like they went there to park and kiss, I'm supposing. And then what happened?
Well, yeah. You know what? 17-year-old girl decides she's going to call her, I think it's her ex 17-year-old boyfriend. Hey, let's meet and have a discussion. I'll leave it at that. I'm not sure exactly what.
Okay, so it was
about.
At least it was an ex. Okay,
it was. It was going to be maybe a reconciliation. Whether it be a hey, let's talk some things out.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to him, the poor guy, he gets in the car and all of a sudden the two people get open up the car doors and start beating him up and pistol whipping him and doing that sort of thing.
So they're armed. They have guns.
They have guns. Yes.
Okay.
He fights back. Is he able to get in the driver's seat of the car and drive away? So we found out throughout the course of the investigation.
That's her car or his car?
I don't recall whose car
okay.
it was.
Okay, go on.
I think it may have been her car. But throughout the investigation, we determined that she had sent some text and there was some intention to leave the car doors unlocked so that they can enter. And
Maybe make off with the car and her phone or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's how we were able to get some of the information from her phone. We gleaned from her
Good
phone.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It was.
Do we have arrests?
We did arrest her, and we're looking for the other two,
okay.
the conspirators. We're looking for them.
Okay.
So, again, not a great story.
Wow.
Not a happy ending to a love story there.
No. Wow. Okay. And you also had a warrant service that netted some drugs and guns?
Yeah, yeah, we did this up on the north end of the county, and you know, we talked a lot about what our narcotics units do and how I've added more people because of the fentanyl crisis and because of the seriousness and the priority that we place on the drugs, because drugs lead to guns and guns lead to gun violence, obviously. In this particular case, we serve a search warrant, got about 350 grams of marijuana, almost $6,000 in cash, multiple firearms, including a shotgun, a 9mm handgun, and obviously some ammunition, some THC vapes and cartridges and such. Coon is the individual we arrested. Joseph Ryan Coon. He's 37 years old. He happens to be a four-time convicted felon. So
the guns are a no-no.
He should have had the guns, shouldn't have had the drugs, should have done a lot of things that he had been doing. So we ended up putting him in jail. And again, our narcotics unit doing a good job.
How do criminals acquire their guns? I mean, I know sometimes it's, you know, stolen out of cars and stuff like that. But I mean, seriously, like, there's a guy who can't obviously go to the store and buy guns. Okay, they're going to do a background check. He's going to fail. Okay. Right. How does he get a gun?
Well, they steal them. Like I said, they can take them from a car. They can take them from a house. They can take them from a friend's house. Sometimes they do what they call a straw purchase, where if I can't buy a gun, but you can buy a gun, then I give you the money. You buy the gun. I reward you for your purchase, which is illegal. You can't do that either. In fact, they'll ask you who the gun's for on the form, so you're not allowed to do that. So they steal them, or they borrow them, or they have a straw purchase. So otherwise, you're not supposed to have the gun.
Okay. I know what I know on TV, and usually TV tells me false things, so I was curious to ask, you know, what it actually is. You guys had a social media post that, you know, the basic premise of it is, I parked on the Pensacola boardwalk, and I got towed because apparently anybody can tow you for any reason. The bad businesses, the Scambia County Sheriff's Office is bad. Everybody's bad. They took my car. Bad, bad, bad. And you guys have a pretty aggressive response to social media posts that are false or misleading or that are going to tarnish your reputation. And in this case...
Well, yeah, that's what happened. We were made aware of a social media post, and we're like, wait, that doesn't sound right. So we do look into these
things. And I had seen this on some local groups before you had responded. I had seen it. Okay, but you guys had seen it too, and?
We had seen it, and when we inquired about it, I said, hey, we take a picture every time we tow a car. We're like, that's great. Let's take a look at this picture. And so that we can respond, because, hey, if we're wrong, we'll say, hey, we messed that up. And we've done that in the past. I speak out if we do something wrong, but I'll also speak out in defense of our deputies if we're doing good work, and they deserve to be credited for that good work. In this particular case, when I saw the picture, she did have a handicap placard. Mm-hmm. The individual had a handicap placard on the visor or on the rearview mirror. But the problem is, if you see by the picture, is in between two handicapped places, but it's in a blue area, which is what I'll call a prohibited zone. It's so that people with wheelchairs or with ramps, they need that extra room. And it's clearly not a parking space. So it got on us that, hey, she's complaining, and it's not even legitimate. You're blasting some people, the tow truck company, the sheriff's office, for stuff you shouldn't be blasting them on. And I've got a pet peeve of mine about the handicap spots in the first place. So when they came to me and they said, hey, you think we should respond to this? And I said, yes, let's go ahead. And we didn't call names.
Mm-hmm.
We just, because we knew that a lot of people had seen this original post.
Yep.
And we wanted to make sure people understood that first of all, we did nothing wrong. We did everything the way we were supposed to do it. And secondly, is to remind people that you can't park in this middle spot either.
Right.
So, you know, it's because, again, it blocks a ramp and you just can't get.
And, yeah, they're parked right in front of the curb cut, which is where the wheelchair would go up. They're parked in a space that is clearly hashtag marked off old markings and new markings, the blue rectangle, which, as you say, is supposed to make it so that doors and wheelchairs and things can be accessed by the cars parked properly in the handicapped spots.
Right.
So this is clearly parked in the wrong place. Did she apologize to you?
We haven't heard from her.
Oh, interesting. Okay. well, we'll see. You, one can hope. I mean, a boy can dream.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're able to you know, post something and be bold about it, you should be right.
Yeah, unpost, retract.
Right.
I apologize if not. Last thing is, obviously, we've talked previously, and of course, this is a major story in our area. Is we had a deputy in Walton County who, you know, was trespassing somebody off of a store. The person had a concealed gun that they had not realized, and turned around and shot him. And the deputy shot back. They both wound up dying.
Right.
Okay. happens all the time. You know, as you said previously, you know, deputies trespass people all the time.
Right.
The question that had come to my mind, and I know other people had asked as well, which is, does that incident make you change your policies for trespassing? Do you frisk people before you trespass them? Do you handcuff them to trespass? Like, just as a layman, it seems like you wouldn't, because any of that stuff can lead to escalated response. The person can get upset, and you're always trying to avoid that problem. But you tell me, you're the expert. I know you guys looked at it and thought about it.
Well, and I think that's it. We look at it and we look at our own policies. Many of our most of our policies actually are based upon state statute and what you can do. There is a search, and then there's what they call a pat down or a protective frisk. And these rules have changed over the years. You are allowed to do a protective frisk if you're concerned about your safety. And okay. Again, what makes you
if
concerned
like,
about
kind of like
safety?
That reasonability standard. If there's a reasonable concern
you
about
articulate,
safety,
articulate, hey, he was acting a little bit agitated, a little bit weird, and they kept putting their hands in their pockets. You know, there are opportunities for law enforcement officers to do a protective frisk for their own safety. And
sure.
A lot of times we'll say that, hey, for my own safety, I just want to make sure you don't have anything in your pockets. If you insist on putting something in your pockets. But as you say, that can escalate something pretty quickly. So it's really just up to the law enforcement officer to determine, you know, if you don't do a protective frisk, then you understand that you don't know what this individual has on them or is willing to do. Again, that's a rough call, though, because you talk to so many people, and a lot of times what you just want to do is clear the area that you're in and get to a better area.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a small area contained with a bunch of, you know, I'm assuming it's like maybe a smaller room and maybe furniture in there. You don't want to have to do something in there. You need more room to be able to obviously to talk to the person and keep a safe distance, you know, 6 or 8 foot distance when you're talking to somebody for your own safety. So a lot of times you do want to just get, hey, let's walk outside. Let's go out here and just have this conversation. And
that's the goal of a trespass anyway, is just to get them off the property. So
yeah, your intention at that point is not to arrest somebody. The store owner or manager wants them gone. And okay, we can do that. It's your property. You have the right to do that. So let's just get you out of here first, which is what they wanted in the first place. And then maybe run you, see if you have any warrants on you, and get information that way. So the answer to your question is I don't know that we would change anything. We would use this as a training reminder, you know, and as if the deputies don't see that and don't know that and realize, you know, that these things can happen. But in regards to training, we train based upon state statutes and court rulings and, you know, precedent and that sort of thing. So we've been up on it, you know, for so many years. We're on the pretty much on the right side of all where we do.
And even, like, again, because I know people think things like this, well, why didn't he have his gun drawn if he's escorting this guy out? Well, you can't just draw your gun on somebody, and it's not that'll escalate too. I mean, it's not a practical thing to advise that you just walk around with your gun drawn because you're walking somebody out of a store. Like, that's a much more risky scenario than even this, right?
Yeah, well, we don't just
and there are rules, and there are rules.
Right. Yeah, and plus, if the guy was to fight, what are you going to do? You got a gun? You got to holster the gun now? What are you going to do? Again, a lot of it is just based upon the officer perceives at the point at that moment. If he's concerned or she's concerned about their safety, they can take the additional steps. They could, again, call for backup. They could wait to confront someone until backup gets there. They can move it to a safer location. They could do a protective frisk. All of that's going through their mind, and it's based upon the training. That's why the job is so difficult.
Absolutely. And that's part of what I wanted to highlight in asking you, is that, you know, you can't just create a rule that easily solves a problem that obviously the professionals have thought about, looked at, dealt with, and know, well, you know, what you think of as an easy solution is not the solution you think it is. And that's why the job is so difficult. And you got to make these decisions quickly based on experience. I mean, you know, it's all of it. Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time, as always. Thanks for teaching us and for keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Oh, got a nice little note in here. Somebody texted in 437-1620 that they had gone to that car show. It was really good. Lots of excellent cars. The police cops, the sheriff's folks were nice people. Simply a nice atmosphere, which is, you know, always nice feedback on these events. If you are thinking about getting that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got an outstanding selection of good quality cars, 300 or so on the lot at any moment. And, you know, for me, one of the reasons that I liked them, the reason I wanted to become an advocate for them, is because, you know, I had heard Dave Ramsey talk about them a lot, and, you know, they were an advertiser on the station. That's not why we went there. We went there because they were the only place we could find a test drive, a Honda Odyssey of the year and of the, you know, sort of the generation that we had thought we might want to buy before we were going to buy it. And we literally just went to test drive a car. And we get done test driving, we're like, perfect. This is the car we will be buying in the future, okay? And they said, well, do you want to look at a price? Like, fine, we test drove your car, we'll look at a price. I mean, it is the color we want, and they're hard to find. That's a good price. Can you come down a little bit? Yeah. Can you give us a day? Yeah. Can you come down a little bit more? Yeah. Can we buy it? Like, that's how the transaction went. We wound up buying a car just because they had in inventory exactly what we wanted. It's such a smoking deal that we couldn't say no. And we've been, you know, have loved the car ever since. And that, it's not just that, okay? It's they understand why people don't like to buy cars, and they try to do things to avoid those problems. I can't say that you will enjoy buying the car, okay? But you will disenjoy it the least. They will take away the pain as much as it possibly can be taken away. Because nobody likes to go, you know, get a car, spend the money, inconvenience yourself, like all the stuff, okay? And maybe you do. I mean, maybe you're, John's weird, whatever. But, you know, most people don't like that process, and they understand that, and they're trying to make it better than it is normally. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John, did I mischaracterize you? Do you like buying a car?
Yes.
You're so weird.
I know.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Pensacola Navy Days, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. The Night at the Museum Gala is back at the Naval Aviation Museum on Friday, May 9th, and presented by Pennair Federal Credit Union. Your ticket includes cocktails, dinner from Classic City Catering, and an evening of music under the planes. Mayor D.C. Reeves will give the keynote address. Early bird tickets are $120. Tickets for this black tie gala will go fast. Get yours today at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m., the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Mathnasium to the studio. If you have school-aged children, Adana Elder will be in the studio to enlighten you on the Mathnasium method. Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. At Mathnasium, they are changing lives through math. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 with Mathnasium.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, well, pay me next time. Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Artists that you loved when you were a kid and you were listening to top 40 music. Like I was listening to B96 in Chicago. And then you grow up and you think they're great. And then you grow up and you're like, well, they had a couple songs. That's Corey Hart. You know?
Yes, I agree.
You know, yeah, he had a couple of songs. All right, 550. He's a three-hit wonder. David Wayne. You know, there's not enough credit given to the three-hit wonders.
There isn't.
And, you know, this is people who had, like, a hit or two on their first album, and then they had a hit or maybe two on their second album, and then you never hear from them again. And they're not a one-hit wonder. You don't need to insult them. But they're not a great band. There's still value there. You know, that director made one good movie. Two good movies. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland is headed to El Salvador today to visit Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He calls his situation one of, quote, abduction and unlawful deportation, end quote. Van Hollen says he's hoping to check on Abrego Garcia's well-being and have some conversations with government officials there about his release. Of course, ICE arrested Abrego Garcia back in March despite a withholding of removal protection order. The White House claims Abrego Garcia was a member of the MS-13 gang. Well, day three now in the major antitrust trial against Meta. Yesterday, CEO Mark Zuckerberg pushed back on claims that he bought Instagram and WhatsApp to block competition. He said he bought Instagram because it was just easier than building a new app from scratch.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next hour, if you missed the, I don't know what to call it, the political meltdown, the hissy fit that Governor DeSantis pitched yesterday in Pensacola. Oh, we'll talk about it. A lot to say about that. And we'll actually speak with one of the people he was attacking, Michelle Salzman, will be on the show coming up at 6:40. We'll be back in just a few minutes.